is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The NHL draft is tomorrow, and I am hearing a lot of crazy stuff is about to go down tomorrow across the league. What's going to happen? I don't know. But do you remember 2 years ago when the Blackhawks, like, blew up their team, right, you know, on the day of the draft? Like, every now and then we get some crazy stuff going on and things are happening, and the Preds, I think, as I said, when they lost that Dallas series, I think you will see some major changes. If you're going to see some major changes, they might start tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow we will be at the official National Predators NHL Draft Party presented by Yeehaw Beer. That is at Brew House South in Cool Springs, located at 1855 Galleria Boulevard. So you can win prizes like autographed memorabilia, meet Predators broadcast personalities along with Nash and the energy team. Jared and the GM will be live from 2 to 6, followed by Preds Insiders. I will be there tomorrow night, staying after the show, hanging out. So get excited for that. It's the official Predators NHL draft party tomorrow at Brew House South in Cool Springs. Now, the big name surrounding the Preds and all the rumors, Floyd Reese, is whom, as far as the Preds are concerned?
Duchesne?
Matt Duchesne. If Floyd knows who it is, then you know. Everybody knows.
That's
who
right.
The big name surrounding him is. And these Preds fans, I think, are convinced that they have a shot to get Matt Duchesne. Now, what I am hearing is the Preds are going to try to get Duchesne. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to, because we've heard that they have tried to get Duchesne for the longest time. But what I am hearing is that the Predators are very interested in Matt Duchesne. Now, going forward on that front, my question to you is this. If the Predators get Matt Duchesne, then what? You know, is Duchesne really going to come in here and be the transcendent player that takes this team to the top? Are the fans going to get their hopes up only to have them stomp that one guy doesn't matter that much to the team? Although I do think one guy in that sport does matter. Not as much as like basketball, but I definitely think one big-time guy makes a difference. Or is it going to be like all these other guys they've been acquiring lately where they tell you, hey, Ryan Hartman is going to make a difference, and then we watch it like Ryan Hartman sucks. Mikael Granlund is going to make a difference. Mikael Granlund had like 2 goals. Kyle Turris is going to make a difference. Kyle Turris is a $30 million albatross on your roster. I mean, how is this different with the excitement the Predator fans have at the idea of getting Matt Duchesne? How is this any different? And I mean, how do the Preds fans make sure they don't get their hopes up?
Are you ready for this stat?
Okay.
Ryan and I yesterday averaged the points over Turris and what's his name?
Duchesne.
You know what the difference is?
What's
average.
That?
2.5 points a year.
Yep.
2.5 points a year difference between the two. One you got for $6 million, the other one you're going to have to pay 10. Is that a good deal?
Do you think, but you have never, there's not one shred of evidence that makes you think you're going to be able to get what Kyle Turris has been averaging before out of Kyle Turris now?
Oh, I'm not even arguing that. I mean, I think he's probably
he's a lost cause.
Going to struggle here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, something would have to change. But I think the point is, I mean, two things. We talked to some hockey guys yesterday, believe it or not, and there are some concerns about his locker room stuff.
Duchesne?
Yeah. They said when he left Denver, the locker room applauded.
Well, all they did after he left there was turn their season around, make the playoffs, and build a core without him that's going to be pretty good for the next 10 years.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about him. I mean, I'm just saying what guys that I think should know a little bit more than I know.
Well, let's just say you're GM. You get that intel in there because, I mean, look, you know when guys have bad raps, you have to investigate it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you investigate it, you realize Kevin Carter is a great guy.
And
this is not true at all.
That's exactly right.
Or then sometimes you investigate it and you're like, nope, bad guy, bad guy, bad guy. And you get this that Duchesne's teammates don't like him. Now how do you feel about it?
Yeah, and I don't know, again, if any of that's true, but I think there's been some speculation. You know, he got, what was it? He got in a cab or got in an Uber in Ottawa or something and started ripping his coaches or teammates or whatever, and a guy filmed it. Did you see?
I tell you, I hate talking in Ubers because Ubers know who I am when I get in there. They hear my voice. So I know that feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean, just things like that.
Talking bad about Floyd and Ryan and everybody
And you think to yourself, you know, well, because the one thing that is a certain in my mind right now is that this locker room is strong. I mean, the locker room is solid. I think
I'm not sure I'm behind that.
I think they enjoy each other. I think they play for each other. I think now Tourist, you know, he may be an exception. I don't know that. But I think generally speaking, I mean, these guys are tight.
I don't know. I don't know what the chemistry is like amongst the team, and really, there's no way to know unless you're on the team every day.
Yeah.
And like even Hal Gill told me one time, Hal said, people, well, what are the guys like in the locker room? Hal's like, that's the one part about my job that I don't know from what I used to know is that is the player's space. And that even though Hal's a former player, former Predator, played with these guys, like even Hal is out on things like that. But I don't know. I just, you always hear the swirlings about PK. Those never go away for whatever reason.
No.
You always hear that PK's a bad teammate.
I think we heard that for 3 years, you know, the whole time he's been here.
Sure. But it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. We hear that a lot. The tourist stuff and the Watson stuff, I think, I wonder how the team sits on some of this stuff.
I don't now see the Watson stuff. I think they're solid on that.
You think
right, right, wrong, or indifferent? Like, yeah. The players are gonna do now with the tour stuff. And the only reason I mention this, his name, is because he's had those couple of, you know, I need to be able to play my way kind of, you know, thoughts. Things that he said that lead you to believe that, you know, somebody's trying to get him to do something that he's not comfortable with, or, you know, he can't do something that they want him to because he's not comfortable, you know, whatever the case may be. But other than that, I mean, I hear Pekka and I hear those guys talking and everybody's kind of like, yeah, that's, you know, that's the way it goes.
I know, but they played so uninspired at times last year. That's the only thing. Like, you know, we talk to Chris Sanders every week. You know, Eddie George would never allow his team to play as uninspired at times as the Predators played last year.
Right. Now but that doesn't mean that the locker room isn't tight. It just means that, you know, somebody needs to be the guy to stir the drink, whoever that guy is.
Peter.
I don't know.
I mean, that's Peter's job. You know, at the end of the day, that is the job of the coach. That if your team is playing not at the level consistently that you think of, and you have to kind of get them up to play hard all the time, that is the head coach's responsibility. And we can chop it up and say, well, they got a leadership group, and the coach talks to the leadership group, and the different thing, or they hear that, or the... I don't know. I feel like there's more cracks in the foundation of that locker room than you do. Just because, like... You know, all the things you heard about Fiala after they traded him, I was like, boy, this just sounds like revisionist history. Like, okay, you know, let's crap on this guy now that he's gone. That really bothered me a lot. The tourist stuff bothers me. The uninspired play at times bothers me. So I do wonder about the locker room a little bit, and I wonder if there was some finger pointing last year. You know, about, hey, you guys aren't scoring any goals. You get mad at the defenseman, but you guys aren't scoring any goals. How are we supposed to win when you want us to win every game 2-1? And then there's some looking at the defenseman, like, you guys are supposed to be the four best defensemen in the league. You guys need to play better. Like, so you could definitely probably see some finger-pointing going on there. I guess I am more – my old theory on the Matt Duchesne thing still is, and then what? So if you get Matt Duchene, are you going to win the Cup? Because Matt Duchene has never won the Cup before. You know, Ottawa, the team that he started on last year, was terrible. Colorado, where he was before that, was terrible. So what does you get Matt Duchene, then what? Because if they get Matt Duchene on July 1, there will be people who will be willing to jump face first into the Preds Kool-Aid pool. And I'm just not I'm just not ready to go there, even if they get this guy.
Well, we were talking yesterday. This kind of reminds me of one of those, you know, when you've wanted something so badly and you finally get it, and it never seems to be quite as good as you expected it to be, you know. That's what I get scared about.
What does Garth say? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the case here. And they went and got Kyle Turris instead of Duchene because they couldn't get Duchene, and Kyle Turris sucks. So that is of a concern for sure. But I just still, I need somebody to explain to me, if they get Matt Duchene, then what? Like, are they all of a sudden they going to start, you know, playing at a more inspired level? I don't know. So we'll take your phones on it. That's the question. 615-737-1025. Let's say the Predators get Matt Duchene. Then what does that mean for that team? And then I think there is a painful element that will come into play as far as Duchene's concerned. I want to get to that. And what I fear happens if they get this guy. And we'll get to that coming up next here on Jared and the GM. Plus, there are some moves out there that I think are going to have to be made in order to facilitate a Duchene deal. The question is, what moves are they going to make? And will we see some of that tomorrow? So we'll discuss. Live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet, Jared and the GM. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, they're members of the Nashville Predators team, as they are proud partners. Their logo is right there on the ice, and I don't think that they could be happier than to have Hiller right there on their side. Hiller should be on your side, too, for your home. Hiller offers true transparency pricing, free second opinions, and when you're like me and you have the Happy Hiller Club, they will come out to your house four times a year to make sure everything is rocking and rolling. I went to the beach for almost a week. I got home, AC cranking up. Everything was great. And that's a reason why I am proud to use Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Why I am proud that my parents have used Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And why I'm proud to tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. True transparency pricing, free second opinions, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
There's no doubt that, listen, we all know he's coming off a really soft season. This wasn't the best of all possible seasons for Kyle Turris with the Preds, but there was, you know, I'm not the only one to notice this or to sort of look at this one and say there's probably more to it than what meets the eye. But there was something a Team Canada naming Kyle Turris captain this year at the World Championships that wasn't just about, well, we want Kyle Turris to be the captain. Because if you look at that Team Canada squad, I mean, there's more than a mittful of guys you could have made captain. Why was it Kyle Turris? Was it a favor to someone? Was it to try to, you know, get his confidence up heading to the offseason? Was it to try to get his confidence up, get a certain level of play out of him to heat him up for a trade sooner than later? I hate how it sounds like, you know, tinfoil conspiracy guy here, but there was something at play with making Kyle Turris captain more so than just what meets the eye. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's some action there from David Poile. What the market is, I don't think you can base it on last season, because that was just flat out an awful season for Kyle Turris. And anyone that's ever watched this guy play, whether it's Arizona, whether it's Ottawa, knows that that's not the real Kyle Turris.
What a take there from Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet.
Oh, he's...
He's saying, hey, was it a favor to somebody that Kyle Turris was named captain of Team Canada in the World Championships and was able to get his stock bumped up a little bit? Because there were a lot of other guys out there that could have been named team captain. And, you know... So that is a take. If they're going to go get Matt Duchene, the Predators, do they make a move tomorrow that makes it obvious that they're going after Duchene? Do they make a trade tomorrow? Turris, Subban, Ellis, You figure one of those guys has to go. Maybe two of those guys have to go tomorrow if they're going to go after a guy like Duchesne.
Yeah, to make room. So, I mean, before they – again, I don't understand how the cap – according to Ryan, you don't have to have your cap situated until you start playing games.
Literally, you can be over the cap in the preseason, and as long as you are under the cap by the opening puck drop, you're good.
Which is a little bit different. But, I guess they could stretch it all, through the preseason to the week of the regular season.
Yeah, but nobody does that. No, I mean, nobody.
I'm sure nobody does, but in theory, they could.
Well, but then happens is then you can't get – then you're talking about literally getting pennies on the dollar. The Bruins did that a couple years ago. Johnny Boychuk, a very serviceable – a top four defenseman. They got 2 second-round picks for Johnny Boychuk because the Islanders and everybody else around the league knew that they had to move a guy like Boychuk to get under the cap before the season started.
Right.
So you wouldn't be able to move anybody because everybody would know that. I mean, then you're talking about getting PK for like a third-round pick.
Well, no, I think what you're doing – and again, if it's Tourist and you're saying, okay, all you can get is throwing a number out. All you can get is a sixth-rounder. Well, if somebody gets hurt in preseason, all of a sudden his value skyrockets. Now, it may go from a sixth to a fourth or something, or sixth to a third. But, you're not going to get any worse than, what it is. And so you figure, what the heck? It would be worth the risk. If you get a draft choice that you feel, comfortable with, maybe not in love with, but comfortable with, then, I would have no problem with
it. I'd be stunned if the Predators went to training camp over the cap. That's just not something that people do.
I would hope not, but if they don't have to be on until opening game, they have that option.
I know, but what if you find yourself right there before the first game? You've got to get under the cap, and now you're trying to move Ellis, but everybody knows that you're trying to move Ellis in order to get his money off to get under the cap. So Ellis, who would probably get you a nice little haul in return, is now going to get you nothing. He's going to get you a third-round
pick. Right, but that's not why you would hold him. You would hold Tourist because you can't get anything for him anyway. So what you're hoping is that during the preseason, somebody gets hurt and then his value raises. Then you trade him. Now, if you're not going to get anything anyway, you say, fine, I'll trade him to you the week before the opener for the sixth rounder. You can have him. Now the guy may say, well, I don't want to wait that late. Let's do it. Say, okay, fine, whenever you want to do it. But if you hold him, and if in fact somebody does get hurt or somebody gets arrested or somebody gets in a car wreck, you've got a guy that might fit the bill, and you end up getting more than you would ever get for him. Now, if you get something decent, you're expecting to get you're expecting to get first, but that's not going to. So you end up with a third or something, and you go, oh, okay, that's cool. All right, fine, make the deal.
So you're sold that in order to get Duchesne, they have to move Tourist specifically.
No, move somebody.
Well, so I have to me these are essentially. These are the six guys that I think on some level or another could be moved tomorrow if they were going to go after Matt Duchesne. And again, I believe the Predators will have to clear $10 million in cap space. I think, what are they, projected 7 under right now?
I don't know that.
Yeah, they're a projected 7 under.
Okay.
They'll need to clear, in my opinion, $10 million to feel comfortable about being able to sign Duchesne. So they would be clear $17 million when you add the 7 plus the 10. The first thing, which I think is the least painful and most likely thing to do, would be to move Mikhail Granlund and or Craig Smith or Nick Bonino. So a combination of a $4 million guy in Smith or Bonino and the 5.75 in Granlund. That right there clears you essentially $10 million in cap space. And then you have Sissons and Yarncroke take Bonino's job. You sign Duchesne. Everybody moves down a little bit. So you're basically giving up on Granlin, or you're giving up on Granlin, but I mean, Granlin kind of stunk this year anyway, so who cares? You know, it's not like they lose 50 goals because they're getting rid of Mikhail Granlin. I don't love the idea of getting rid of Granlin because I think Granlin's stinkage was not a product of the fact that he stinks, but it was more of a product of the fact that there's a reason these guys are getting traded to the Predators and none of them are working out. And I don't know what that reason is, but Laviolette better figure it out or else they'll have someone else try to figure that out at some point. But that, I think, is probably the least painful thing. Second is move Kyle Turris. The reason that Kyle Turris would be painful is because I think in order to move Turris to sign Duchesne, you have to give something up. So if you are going to move Turris, it's not just like move Turris, get a second. It's like move Turris, include a second, get a fourth. It's going to hurt. Whatever you get for Turris is going to hurt. And then you would have to consider that part of the Duchesne trade or Duchesne package. So you would have to say in order to get Duchesne, you had to give up Sam Girard, the second round pick, Vladislav Kamenev, and then whatever you have to give up to Turris in exchange to get rid of Turris, that's what it ultimately cost you to sign Duchesne, which is going to be a pretty penny. And
jeez, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Oh, that's a lot. And then pay him $10 million.
And then pay him $10 million for the next 7 years.
I can't believe he's that good. I can't believe he'll make that much of a difference.
I'm just telling you that's what, again, so.
I'm not doubting what you're saying. I'm just saying when you go through all of that and you lay it out like that, I mean, he would have to come in here and score, you know, 40 goals
every
or
night.
Something. Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Johansson barely scores, and I still feel like he was worth the Seth Jones trade, even though Jones is a better player, and I think Jones will be a better player over time, the Predators had to make that trade. You know, it was a one for one. We knew it. We knew it had the likelihood of backfiring because everybody thought Seth Jones was going to turn into a great defenseman, and he is. But we understood the necessity to make the move. I don't feel that same way about Duchesne, but everybody else seems to, so everybody else must be right and I must be wrong. Three, move Ryan Ellis. If they move Ryan Ellis tomorrow, that's going to be a big deal for this one reason. Ellis's new contract has not kicked in. One of the kind of points of contention, reportedly, when they got down to the nitty-gritty on whether or not they were going to be able to sign Ryan Ellis, was Ellis, and this is what was reported, Ellis was willing to take a hometown discount in exchange for wanting a no-trade clause. Of, hey, if I'm going to take a hometown discount, you got to give me no trade protection so you can't send me to Calgary where now I get taxed at the Canadian tax rate and I'm somewhere I don't want to be and I took a haircut in order to be on your team. And Ellis didn't get to do that. He did not get no trade provision. If you send him off before that extension even kicks in, what does that say to the rest of the league?
Forget the rest of the league. What does it say to your team?
It says, hey, you better get in your contract or else you're out of here.
Yeah, you better get yours now because you give it up and you end up in Toronto, you're going to be in trouble.
So how does that affect the fact that if you trade Roman Josi in order to free up the space to be able to sign Matt Duchesne, I mean, if you trade Ryan Ellis in order to free up the space to sign Matt Duchesne and then you try to sign Roman Josi, you think Yossi's taking a hometown discount after you've traded Shea Weber and Ryan Ellis?
No, not without a no-trade clause.
Okay.
You got to give up one or the other.
So now are you going to break your rule and give Josi a no-trade clause?
Oh, I don't know.
Because now once you break that rule, that precedent that's there,
it's for everybody.
So as much as I think Ryan Ellis is on the decline, and I thought last year was an abomination of what he's capable of being, or at least was in the past, I mean, to me, there is some serious pain there. The fourth is move PK, and the reason I have a problem with moving PK is because I think PK's too good. You know, everyone wants to say move PK. You realize PK's probably the best defender on your team, like when it really matters. Now, the other games in the season, the other guys might be better. PK is the one out there against Crosby. He's out there against Taves. He's out there against some of the best players in the league. So if you move PK in order to sign Matt Duchesne, I just don't know how much better that makes you as a hockey club.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, if you're moving, you're moving a known commodity, a guy mm-hmm. that you know is a really good player, for a guy that you hope is going to be a really good player.
You don't feel good about that, do you?
No, I don't.
And it also costs you more. And
yeah, it's
I mean, it's a pop in the tooth now if you go out there and you do that. So, again, those are your options. Move Granlund and Smith or Bonino. Move Turris. Move Ellis. Move PK. The only one I like is the first one. If they made that trade tomorrow, if they trade Granlund and Smith, I'll celebrate. But the other ones, even Turris, who I can't stand, I mean, what do you get out of that? And that I feel is the problem that the Predators find themselves in. 615-737-1025. Again, tomorrow, all that will be going down. We will be live out at the Preds official draft party, so come on out and see us there. Coming up next, boy, I heard a lot of complaining while I was on vacation about something that I guess if you're a Titans fan, should irk you. We'll get to that next here on Jared and the GM. What should not irk you is if you're trying to buy or sell your home and you get frustrated. What you should do is you should call my buddy, TJ Anderson. TJ Anderson Homes, part of Benchmark Realty. TJ is not some guy with a great-looking picture that's going to try to give you some catchy cheese phrase and then you'll never talk to the guy as you actually try to buy or sell your home. No. TJ is down to earth. He's a Preds fan. You get to know him like he is a great guy. That's why I love telling people about TJ is he's got the experience. He's been here for forever. He knows the market. He knows what's available. He's got thousands of people going to his website, tjandersonhomes.com, every single day. He knows what he's doing. But he'll take the stress off you. He and his team will work with you, and they'll find what you want, not what they think you should buy, but what you want. And that's one of the reasons I absolutely love TJ Anderson. TJ and his team, they've got 26 homes coming available shortly out in the Dixon area. It's right there. It's a very affordable, livable distance to Nashville. TJ's got the homes coming available. And if you are selling your homes or selling your home, you need to call TJ. He's got over 1,000 people a day looking at tjanderson.com. TJ Anderson Homes, you need to go and get with TJ today. That's TJ Anderson Homes, tjandersonhomes.com, part of Benchmark Realty. Give TJ a try. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I don't mean this personally. If Taylor Lewan is seeing this, if Marcus Mariota is seeing it, listen, huge fans of you guys. But unfortunately, the way I see your schedule working out, 3-13, I don't want it to be this way. If I could have been unrealistic and given everybody 13 wins, I would do that. But you know what? The way the schedule works out, especially with the tough start, you got some tough games here in the middle stretch from weeks 10, 12, and 13. And at that point, the season is just starting to unravel. So unfortunately, Tennessee Titan fans, it's not going to work out playoff-wise, but you'll get a cool draft pick. So you got that to look forward to.
Adam Rank has the Titans going 3-13. I'm sure many of you guys have been outraged. How dare that guy on NFL Network say the Titans are going to go 3-13? Because I saw a lot of social media outrage at the beginning of the week that Adam Rank on NFL Network has the Titans going 3-13. Here's my response to that, Floyd. Who the hell cares? Like, who cares what Adam Rank thinks? Number one, who is Adam Rank?
My very words. When Ryan says, Adam Rank says, and I said, who? I never heard of the guy. Then he told me they have him going 3-13. I said, I'm glad I didn't know who he was.
Well, it's like, it'd be one thing if Steve Mariucci said they were going to go 3-13. Not that I would really care if Steve Mariucci said they were going to go 3-13. But who the hell's Adam Rank? Oh, well, he's the fantasy football guy there. Oh, okay, good.
And he went through, and he was talking through some of them, and he has this, like, I can't remember who. This is probably not right, but it was
Raiders.
Like losing. There you go, losing to the Raiders and beating the Chargers. Now we've beaten the Chargers. I think it's one out of the last 11 times we've played them, or something.
Miracle catch by Justin Hunter.
So you know, and yet we're going to lose to the Raiders and beat the Chargers. Okay, Thank you.
Although that would be par for the course of what the Titans have done over the last couple of years, in all seriousness.
I mean, exactly what we were talking about before.
That is one thing that they need to get out of the habit of. I mean, I'm not one to get on there and just say, you know, defend the local team and say, there's no way they'll be 3-13. This national media guy hates the Titans. I'm not going to do that. I see a way to 3-13. Everybody gets hurt. 3-13. That's simple across the league. That's how you went, you know, from the Super Bowl and best team in the league to 7-9, right back to contending for the Super Bowl for the next 2 years. Because there were injuries, there were circumstances, and all of a sudden you're 7-9, 1 year in a 5-year window. I just look at this and I think to myself, if you really care that Adam Rank says that the Titans are 3-13, then I feel bad for you. Because, again, who gives a rat's tail about what some guy on NFL Network says about the Titans in June when the guy, no one knows who the guy is, nobody cares what the guy thinks, and yet he says it and people get mad and they start calling him out on Twitter and they start trying to bet him. And I, like, who cares? Seriously, who cares? If this is something you feel the need to bring up and discuss and get upset about on Twitter or something like that, like, who cares? That's my thing. Like, I do you think fans really care what Adam Rank thinks?
I hope not. But I don't know. Sounds like on Twitter they do. I don't know. It's not very meaningful to me.
What do you mean? Oh, what Adam Rank said?
Yeah.
No, my whole point, though, is I feel like this is what happens, is people get mad because in June they feel like, what are they supposed to talk about as far as the football team is concerned? Because now the mini camps are over and they're not going to practice for 4 weeks. And so what do? And what do you discuss? And what do you get mad about? And what do you – guy takes shot at local team. NFL Network's Adam Rank says the Titans are going 3-13. So now let's build a whole show around how dare this national media guy say the Titans are going to go 3-13. And I have no problem hosting that kind of show. But I'll do it if that guy matters. Like, if Stephen A. Smith says the Titans are going to go 3-13, then that's worth discussing because people actually care what Stephen A. thinks. People know who Stephen A. is. This guy, nobody knows. So if you're just going on and complaining about what this guy said, then you're just trying to literally fill time during the summer on the radio. And that's where my problem with the caring of this all comes. Because if you walked into a McDonald's and went up to every person there, if we said, if you are a Titans fan and you wear a Titans shirt and come to McDonald's, we'll give you a free hamburger. How many Titans fans you think would throw a shirt on and walk into McDonald's just to go get their free hamburger?
Sure.
Okay. If we asked every Titan fan who threw a shirt on and went into McDonald's, what do you think of Adam Rank coming out and saying the Titans are going to be 3-13? What do you think their reaction would be?
Probably the same as ours.
Who the hell's that?
Yeah. Who cares?
So nobody cares what this guy says. Nobody cares. And yet I see and hear that people are like, can you believe what NFL Network's Adam Rank thinks? And I think of it like, can you believe how itching you are for something to talk about on the radio? That you're sitting there throwing a fit about a guy who until like Tuesday of this week you didn't even know existed?
Can't. I mean, it was water off my back. But I know what you're saying.
But you know what I mean? Like, nobody absolutely. Who's actually talking about this actually cares about that guy.
No.
Nobody cares. Like, nobody cares about that guy. Again, it's one thing if it's somebody people actually care about. Like, I know you don't care about Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless, and that's fine. But people legitimately care about what those guys say. Those guys matter. LeBron James literally watches those shows and then gets mad, and LeBron's the most important player in the entire league. Like, that is, those shows matter. So I look at it and I'm saying, like, okay, like, Stephen A. Smith matters. As much as some people hate Stephen A. Smith, I'm telling you, what he says at times does matter, especially in basketball. What this guy says? No one even knows who this guy is. So it's kind of like my way of saying, folks, check your local water source here. you know, to make sure that your water's all right. If your people, the people you watch or the people you listen to, are getting upset about Adam Rank saying the Titans are going to be 3-13, don't get mad at Adam Rank. Get mad at that person for being so desperate for something to talk about that they start acting like this guy's opinion matters, or that they knew who that guy was last week, because no one knows who that is.
Agreed. I mean, he's...
It's lazy radio. It's lazy media. It's just like, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's talk about this. Nobody cares. Like, I'm going to text my dad right now. I don't think he's listening. I'm going to text my dad and say, Adam Rank thinks the Titans are going to be 3-13. And I guarantee you his response is going to be, who is Adam Rank? Adam Rank has the Titans 3-13. Okay, so I sent that to – I guarantee you that's going to be his response. And so I just – when I saw, like, all the outrage on Twitter and the Twitter tough guys out there saying, oh, I'll bet Adam Rank that the Titans won't go 3-13, I'm like, dude, don't use Adam Rank as, like, somebody to pump your chest out over. You know, it's one thing if Lockhan Fora goes on CBS and says – Bon Jovi's buying the Titans. Not to say that that makes it credible, but, I mean, there's a guy who's actually on CBS, talking about the Bon Jovi, reporting it like it's news that Bon Jovi's going to buy the Titans. That's at least something worth discussing. This guy is just some dude who they're like, get on the air, and he's like, okay, I'll get on the air, and just says something crazy, and Titans fans don't even really get mad about it, but the media, desperate to have something to talk about, gets mad about it. And so I'm more mad at the people that talk about this than I am at the fact that Adam Rank actually said the Titans are going. It means nothing to me that he said the Titans are going 3-13. They're not. My dad just texted me and said, "Yeah, I'm listening."
Way to go, Dad.
But I just think it's so laughable. I think the whole thing is laughable. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. Plus, why I've been hearing a lot of Marcus chatter, which, in all fairness, I do a lot of the starting of the Marcus talking. But every single opinion that I, for the most part, that I have heard about Mariota is completely wrong, and I will explain why, and we'll get to that next. Hey, you're invited to participate in the inaugural Nashville Sports Council Golf and Guns Weekend presented by Team Construction. The Sports Council is a membership-funded organization that relies on the support of the local community to carry out their mission to attract and promote sporting events to the greater Nashville area. Join us on June 27th through the 29th to enjoy some top golf and clay shooting with friends, family, or coworkers. Go to nashvillesports.com for more details. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Carson, getting a deal done, change your hopes or thoughts about your contract situation?
I can't control those types of things. For me, I just got to focus on what I can do to help this team out on the field. Those things off of it, it's a business, and we'll see what happens.
That was Mariota last week about his contract. So everybody's got Mariota takes out the yin-yang. It's the easiest thing to talk about. It's the thing most people care about is Marcus, Marcus, and Marcus. And I hear a lot of people, Floyd, have these takes about Mariota that I find to be so laughable, right? Like, if your opinion is, oh, I think the Titans are setting it up for them to be searching for a new quarterback next year, then you're just wrong, because the Titans aren't doing any of that. And if you think, you know, if Marcus goes out and performs this year, then I think they'll give him a contract, but I don't think he'll perform, so I would just move on anyways, then that's a wrong take too. Because the option of not playing Marcus this year, as a lot of callers will call in and suggest, hey, he's got a pop gun arm, he can't stay healthy, it's time to move on, that's just not going to happen this year. Like, he will be the starting quarterback this season, and we will learn whether or not he's going to be able to play. I think every Marcus take, outside of the take that is, they're going to give Marcus the opportunity to succeed this year. If he performs well, they will probably franchise tag him. If he performs at an unbelievable superstar pace that no one believed possible, they'll probably give him a big deal. If he gets hurt again, they'll probably let him walk. And if he stinks, they'll probably let him walk. I think every other take outside of those four possibilities is just blatantly wrong, and people don't understand what the Titans are doing because everybody wants to have some kind of flair to it, or they want to think it through more than what the reality is, which to me are those four outcomes surrounding Mariota.
Well, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is they want Marcus to succeed at some level. You know, I think the question is ultimately going to be at what level. And what level is that going to be for you to decide to keep him or not? Because, you would say right now, well, I want him to be the franchise quarterback and I want him to perform at a Super Bowl level. Well, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So then you say, okay, what is acceptable? You know, what number are we okay with? And we talked about this yesterday. Are we okay with Andy Dalton? You know, we make the playoffs 5 years in a row but don't win any games. And you say, no, I'm not okay with Andy Dalton. Then, okay, so are you okay with, 9-7? Are you okay with whatever it may be? Or you go down the line.
But can we let him play the season before we decide what we're okay with or what he is?
I mean, you gotta decide. And the truth is, I mean, the Titans may already have their mind made up. Who knows? I mean, we talked to Chris yesterday. And
I'd be stunned if they have their mind made up.
And I mentioned to Chris, I said, Chris, was there ever any doubt in your mind? I mean, he was in the locker room with Steve, that Steve wasn't going to be our quarterback? And he said, no, and never. And we talked about this before. I mean, it was never, I didn't even think about it. It wasn't even an option for me. He was the guy. He was going to be the guy. And Steve, hadn't performed off the charts at that point in time.
I mean, Steve and Marcus were very similar at this point in their careers.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of similarities. So, the truth is, like I said, the Titans may already have their mind made up. We don't know that, but... he's got to get through the season and got to get through the season, God willing, with good health. And if he can do that and some of these other guys pull through for him and play well and do what we're expecting and hoping out of them, then he'll get through this thing okay.
See, I think even some of the things that you just brought up there are not exactly, I don't think they've made up their mind on Marcus at all. I think they're looking at this year as I believe that Vrabel and J-Rob think he can do it. They don't know if he will do it, but they think he can do it. And so if he goes out there and plays well, then they're fine with it and they'll say, hey, this is why we always believed in Marcus. If he goes out there and gets hurt, or if he goes out there and just flat out stinks, then they'll move on.
Well, if he goes out there and stinks, again, I think it'll be because the whole team stinks. Mm-hmm. Short of getting hurt, but he's not getting hurt. So, if the whole team fails and we indeed end up 3-13, then yeah, Marcus will stink. But so will everybody else. So what's, where do you go from there? I think I think he will be, we talked yesterday, a reflection of what this offense is going to be. If the offense turns out pretty good, if Derrick Henry can indeed run the ball, if the offensive line can indeed block, if we can indeed throw play passes, and Davis and Taylor and Humphreys and all these different guys do perform the way that they have performed, then Marcus will be okay. Marcus will be all right. Then the question comes down to, okay, what is all right? It's 9-7 winning a playoff game. Is that all right?
Then he gets franchised.
Or is it 11 wins and losing in the first round? Is that all right? I mean, I think you're going to have a bunch of questions like that you have to decide.
But I'm telling you, if something like that happens, he gets franchised. That to me, this is so cut. To me, this is so simple. Marcus plays well, or plays. If there's a question mark about Marcus, like let's say the Titans go 10-6 this year and Marcus's statistics are about 17th best in the league, then he gets franchised. If Marcus goes out and balls out and is in the MVP discussion, he gets a new deal. If Marcus gets hurt, he's gone. If Marcus stinks, he's gone. To me, it's literally that simple. And I'm willing to let the season play out before
Suppose he...
we're talking about this. If they're 10-2 and he gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't cut him then. You can't let him go.
So that goes back to my if there's a question. And so if there's a question about him at the end of the year, then he gets franchised.
Well, yeah, but you know what the franchise tag is going to be?
$26 million.
Probably closer to 30. I'm just guessing.
No, I think it's 26.
Well, so for you're going to play a guy for 2 years, you're going to pay him almost $50 million and let him go?
Yes. Washington did that with Cousins.
And Washington's probably not a prime example of somebody you want to emulate.
No, but I think if you put yourself in that position where you don't know, then you got to franchise the guy because it would cost you so much more as an organization to move on from him if you weren't 100% sure that it was the right thing to do to move on.
Yeah, but again, what if 9-7 is okay? What if they're okay with 9-7 and making the playoffs? And winning a game, winning the first round.
Then you franchise them.
No, I'm saying they're okay. They're saying, fine, we're going to build off of that and go where we're going to go. At 9-7 and winning a playoff game, I mean, that's more than Steve did.
Yes, to this point.
Yeah.
But not if this year ends. Because this year Steve was in the Super Bowl.
And yet there was absolutely no doubt about, you know, our thoughts. So what if they're saying, okay, 9-7, 3 years in a row for a young quarterback, we're okay with that.
Well, you were okay with 8 years in a row, but.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, their mind could already be pretty well made up. And it's just a matter of, you know, positioning and timing and all those other things.
All right, let's load them up for Ask the GM, 615-737-1025. By the way, this is very convenient. First work day of the week for me, and we're already at Ask the GM. 615-737-1025, Ask the GM, Titans, football, basketball, the NBA draft is tonight, hockey, baseball, whatever. It's all on the table for the GM, 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. And the best call for the GM will receive a pair of tickets to, let me tell you, you will win a pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 26th. So that is a pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 26th. 615-737-1025. Load them up. Ask the GM is next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025, The Game.